Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman, hope you well this morning.
Wa alaikum assalam, alhamdulillah. Things are fine in Karachi. We had rain the last 2 days and load shedding also. But alhamdulillah, we're doing okay. How's the South Africa, that country that's full of crime, kidnapping and all that's going on that I'm reading about?
Yes, when you speak of crime, then it's generally attached to South Africa and various other countries. I'm sure you've read this on the Majlis article and all the different places and how this particular white lady got kidnapped last week whilst driving and the rest, which goes to say as well that should we be letting our ladies and our women folk behind the steering wheel and risking their lives in this particular manner. So these are vital issues that, I ask these questions and the fatwa has been given, but there was lacking vision, lacking what's currently happening in the country, in different places. And just like this, you say, okay, no, it's fine for women to drive. So we have to consider everything and take everything into place. And especially when we have verses of the Quran Sharif, which is telling you. And I will say as well, just to add to this, is because men folk are generally, they take the back seat and they're getting spoiled. Let's be honest, Mufti Sahab. Men are getting spoiled because now women are there in the working place, in the working world. So the men, they feel, okay, we can just take it a little bit easier. But when the woman didn't work, it was up to you, old men, to go out there and earn. But men folk, perhaps they gave up their responsibilities and perhaps gave up their manhood. So then women decided, okay, let's, you've seen as well, Israel, they've turned to women soldiers now. Because the men, they're killing themselves and the rest. So they're looking to the woman now.
Well, it's been like that for a long time in Israel. The women have been fighting, even when I was a child, before Islam, before I accepted Islam.
Yeah.
And they also recruit, Western women who are very good looking.
Mm.
So, and they put them in their videos.
Yes.
You know. These people.
I can't believe that. Because when we went 2013, Allah's Fadl, we at least saw the border and the rest. And when you're there, they put all those beautiful women in front of you. And I make so much of shukr. Alhamdulillah. This person was not an alim. But I can't even, if you ask me to put a picture to his face or any remember him, I can't. But all I know, he was an elderly person. And it's like, you know, just heaven sent. He said to me, see, when you go to the border, you're going to Masjid al-Aqsa, you make sure you control your gaze and you make sure, you know, there will be all these beautiful women there with walking around. You'll see them with guns and you know how the youth and their imagination and the rest. You keep to dhikrullah. You keep on making dhikrullah. You lower your gaze. And I must say, Allah's help, Allah's assistance. They took everyone else questioning them for hours. But Allah's assistance, they didn't question me. I was sitting right there in front of them. But they said, okay, you can go. And normally for youth, at that time I was, 22, 23. So at that time, they make sure they take you in. Because you are a threat to them. You've got energy, you've got vision, you've got life in you. So they look at these things and they make your life a misery. But alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, that advice was just strong. And you could just look at it from that angle, these beautiful women, just to turn up the desires of those who are fighting in the path of Allah. But you've got to have real. And that's what we're saying, advising people that you hold on to your iman, because when you're on the battlefield and all these challenges are there, It's not something like you just walk in the path and you get martyrdom like that. You've got to be really, your mind has to be focused. And that's why the rewards are so great. And Allah reward all those who have given their lives in this cause. Chief Mufti Sahab.
Yeah, that's what I've said about leaving America and coming here. In America, you always have to take your ibad with you. Okay, as soon as you leave the door. Over here, it's a little bit less. It's not perfect place over here, but in America, because you can ride on the coach and there's no separation of people in houses and in stadiums, no matter where you go, there's no separation. Women are everywhere, and they dress as they like. So there's absolutely no control. You smell the perfume. The women, they work, they own cars, they own their own houses and things like this, and they're looking for men. All right, there's so many men, and this is why I warn parents. You know, don't send your son to America. Okay, for any reason, not school or no reason, because the non-Muslim women, they're hungry, all right? They have more freedom, they have money, they have beauty, and they're showing everything of their body. And the men there, like you said, in South Africa, the men in America have taken a back seat, because as soon as you try to be a man, they talk about toxic masculinity. Okay, it's a bad thing to be masculine. But a Muslim who's being a natural Muslim wants his woman to stay in place and, you know, stay home and go out and work and be responsible. These are the type of men that the women in the West are looking for. Okay, and you want a visa? No problem. I'll hook up with you just to, you know, to help you get a visa here.
Yes.
So this type of thing. And they're aggressive. No woman has ever tried to approach me over here, but in America, hey Muhammad, what's that under your long shirt there? Hey Muhammad, come here. And you know, you're walking down the street and they're in a car and they're driving slowly and roll down the power windows and you can feel the air condition. You're on the sidewalk, you can feel the air condition in a car. You need a lift? Can I take you anywhere? All right. And you're 20, like you said, 22 years old, okay, 10,000 miles away from your family, okay? And, oh, she's just being nice. She wants to give me a lift. Yeah, right, okay. So, yeah, you have to take your, when you're in a non-Muslim country, you have to be, you know, with your iman 100% of the time. Over here, every now and then, you know, you have to really be careful. But in America, it's always like that, like you were just saying.
Just yesterday, we were doing the verse on Surah Yusuf. So we were doing it in Qasida Burda, in this verse of, and there, if you see, it was Zuleika, and she wanted to tempt, we were busy on this word, وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. She bolted the doors. And I said there that our youth, forget youth only, let's speak of men generally, married, not married, youth, if they were in this particular situation with a female, the doors are bolted, there's no cameras, and she is now locked the door for you. How would the general person, the general male, act or respond? He'll say, you know what, this now is, I'm now forced in this particular instance. And if I respond in a way that's conducive to what they want, what she wants, I can just say I was forced and get out of it if I do ever get caught. But I'm saying, to have this courage of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, ma'ad Allah, saying that, may Allah save me, how many men can really say this and do this? So if you're saying this year, men walking on the streets and the women want to pick them up, they'll say, like you said, They just being kind, and Islam teaches us to be to accept help if it's given. You never ask for it. We'll make all excuses because, yes.
Yeah, I'm an American, okay, and I was working for the government, and a woman approached me, and knowing that I was married, knowing that I was Muslim. And I politely refused. So then, no, thank you. I don't do that. Okay. So a few minutes later, her friend, co-worker, comes to me and says, Hassan, what's the matter? You don't like girls? Now that, you know, attacking my manhood. Hmm. All right. But alhamdulillah, Allah helped me so much. I was able to, no, I'm not like that. I'm Muslim, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay? But how many brothers from Pakistan can go to America and, okay, the first hit, okay, refuse? The woman with the first hit, she comes and says, you know, she makes an offer, and you say, no, thank you. Now the friend comes back and says to you, what's the matter? You don't like girls? You homosexual or this or that? Now he gets upset and, well, I'll show her, you know, and he falls for the trap. Okay? Well, I always love that story, Zuleika. All right? It shows the women. Okay? She set the trap and they said seven locks, seven doors she locked, huh? Mm. All right? And then as soon as the husband came in, okay, what'd she say? Hey, look what this guy trying to do to me. I said, wait a minute. The whole time he's trying to seduce me? And as soon as your husband comes, you say, oh, well, I should be punished or sent to jail, right? Is that how it went in Surah Yusuf?
Hmm. Exposing, exactly. And also, I like to add to this as well, the good, let's speak a little bit positive here. The good part of it, woman, after some time, when they are guilty, if they are truly guilty, and they know what they did wrong, they will acknowledge that, no, what I did was wrong after some time, because isn't that what Zuleika did afterwards? And she said, no, Yusuf is free from all of this, yeah, of all the accusations. Right. I was wrong. So they do have that. Alhamdulillah, that's something. But it comes with time.
How many years was that? Well, how many years was that?
But it does come. There is light at the end of the tunnel.
It wasn't like it was 5 minutes later.
That's why we say
years later when she admitted it.
That is why we say, we urge all men, you must listen to my AS Desai Hafidullah's, his latest clip on being kind to women. Being kind to women. So I sent it to my family and the rest. You'll be surprised. Like, there were so many things, and I said, this year is like, you know, positive, especially in this day and age where the West seems to nail us on everything, to say that we are so like this, the rest. But look at this. Majlis speaking and telling the Ummah, men, to be kind to your wives and the benefits and the rest. But you'll be surprised. Women will listen to that whole thing and that one small thing. They'll say, but he said this year, how come? This year is nailing the woman. So, that's the... Everything else was nailing the men, how men have to be. And that's what we say, both. It has to come from Sayyidul Qawmi Khadimum. The lead of a nation is the slaves, is the helpers, the assistants.
It's the leader.
Yes.
Yes.
And we found this in Sayyidina.
If you read A Pious Husband, that is also a golden book, The Pious Husband. We all gave out, you know, The Pious Wife for the women. Mm. But many of us didn't read The Pious Husband, which a lot of those things probably, I didn't hear the bayan, but it's probably, it was for that also.
Yes. Mm. If you just look at, someone sent the post the other day of Hakimul Ummah, Mulana Ashraf Ali Tanwi Rahmatullah Ali. So, you know, there's always all the talks on polygamy and the rest. So he said, now look at the justice system. He said, we know all the watermelon incident, that when you used to purchase a watermelon, so you'll buy for both wives, but you'll purchase two. And not just give one to the first, one to the second. He'll take the one and split it half, half. And why would you do this? So he says, no, because in case the one was sweeter than the others. And this is the justice system. To this level, he was so particular and meticulous. He says when he was with the one wife, he wouldn't be thinking about the other wife, because this would just then sort of demotivate him or disincline him to the current wife which he's spending time with. Now, I ask you, this kind of, where do you find this? Yeah?
Right. He said that, though. I read that he said, people say, because you have two wives, don't you think your Marie's will also want to incline toward having two wives? And he said, you know, when they look at the way I treat my two wives, most of my Maries will not want a second wife. They can't do the, you know, accept that equality, you know, like I do it. Right? So, subhanAllah. Yeah, he was a great man, subhanAllah.
Someone said to me the other day in his khanka, now I know in Sheikhul Hadith, not that I know personally, but we hear these reports from those who were there and present, from our seniors, of Sheikhul Hadith Mulana Zakaria rahmatullahi alayhi, his khanka, and this was especially in the month of Ramadan when there was itikaf and the rest. Well, it was not a khanka is what we say, but during the itikaf at least, there was no talking. You talk, they have spies to hear if you're talking, and they remove you. And you have to break your itikaf and go, because you're not abiding by the rules. So now, that is how they... So I heard this about Hakim ul-Umma and his khanka. Qari Tayyab Sab, rahimullah, was there. We know what a great individual was Qari Tayyab Sab. But it was after, when there was now, because after the lecture, whatever takes place, everyone has to go and sleep, or there's no talking. So Hakim ul-Umma, even though Qari Tayyab Sab was there, he then instructed them, fire probably someone else, to say that they must please leave, because this is the rules of this particular khanka. There's no talking. See how they abided by rules for everything. And so what we say, be usuli, you'll understand it, Mufti Sahab, but the listeners, is for the listeners, it means you just live haphazardly. There's no rules, regulations, nothing governing you. You just do as you please, as you want. But in every way, every breath, they looked at, okay, what is the rule? How do we please Allah? And we'll abide by this. Yeah. So they told Qari Tayyab Sahib they have to leave. Or they cut the conversation. And what we'll say, no man, they're seniors, how can we tell them and the rest? But this is the rule, yeah. So this kind of, this level.
Unlike the Jews, huh? The Jews, they had their rules and their laws, but they only applied it to the poor people, right? And the powerless people. But the rich people were able to get away with things. And the Prophet saw some wonders. That's how they were destroyed. And if we do the same thing, we'll be destroyed like that. So the rules are for everyone.
Yeah. What's quite disturbing, and I think it's good to share it with you because you'll give us a good feedback on this, or a good response, rather. The West, they spend so much of time speaking about the rights of women, the rights of the weak, the rights of this. But then we just ask this question, which we've been seeing over the past few days. Trump's been on the streets of I think it was, where was this year? It wasn't Los Angeles, I think it was New York or a few other places. And he wants, definitely New York and the rest, he wants the people out, the homeless. You must not be there on the streets, you must be gone. And he's saying they are causing crime in the rest. So if they're causing crime, why are they causing crime? Islam deals with this, yeah? When people are hungry, people are starving, don't push them to such extents where they're going to break in your house, they're going to steal things. Give them food. That's the solution. But his solution is take them out, move them to another country, lock them up, imprison them, fine them. So that's my question. What happens? You speak on the one side, WHO will speak of the rights of women, the rights of this. But then our Palestinian women, we've been asking this question for so many months. What happens to them? Children rights. What happens to, are they not children enough, or are they not women enough? All of this, it's still hanging in the air.
Well, Trump doesn't speak like that. People in the West speak like that. And for the most part, the people that speak like that are called liberals. And most of the liberals are in the Democratic Party. And Trump is a Republican, and he's considered a conservative. Conservatives don't necessarily see things in the same eye as the so-called liberals. Matter of fact, now in America, liberal is a dirty word. It's a very bad word to call somebody a liberal. And that's a liberal idea, that people have rights, especially the weak and the poor. But I think it was Washington, D.C. that you were thinking about.
Yes, Washington, D.C. Yes.
Yeah, either you get off the street or go to jail.
Hmm.
Okay. But Washington is, I believe, 80%, maybe 80% black.
Hmm.
And poor. All right. So we talked about in a few years that America will not be a white majority country anymore. Whites will be in the minority.
Mm.
We're going to get rid of as many blacks as we can. We're going to give them vaccines and so that they can't reproduce and what have you. What the people who are in power in America, as I see it, they're only concerned with minorities, blacks, women, etc., who can work. All right? If you can't work, then you can't pay taxes. And this country's running on that, huh?
Mm.
They need workers for factories and what have you. And so you have to have a certain level of education. Huh? Work for the very few people. There's three companies that control like 98% of America's wealth. Okay? And each one of the three companies is Jewish. The CEO is Jewish. All right? And they're controlling a lot of things. So, yeah, America's a capitalistic country that needs workers. So, yeah, they don't look at race in that regard. Even white people are, abused, taken advantage of. There's only like 1% of America that's really controlling things. So, get out of here. We need workers here. We need people who can produce, because the debt is like a record debt, huh?
Mm.
In America, the American debt is equal to the whole world's debt. All right, if everybody in the world produce money to pay the American debt, it wouldn't pay it off.
Hmm.
Right, so they need workers, and they don't need people who are just loafing around and taking government benefits and not giving anything back.
Yes.
Basically, that's what it is.
Yeah, and just to end off, I see we just got 30 seconds left. What you've been always preaching and saying, that Trump has this mindset of the business mindset, and this, what you're saying, fits in exactly. They're not an asset to the country. They're not an asset to Trump. So best is remove these people. But this kind of leadership is just one-sided. It seems like it's just for their benefits, for his benefit, in fact. And
they got what the leadership reflects the amal of the people, correct?
Yes.
America has the right thing. America has the right thing. All right. How many people are complaining? How many people who are not being thrown out of the country or not being thrown in jail are complaining about Americans? Okay.
Mm.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, a lot of people don't like Trump, but his supporters, they defend him to the maximum.
Mm. Yeah. This thought just crossed my mind yesterday. In fact, when I was driving, I said to myself, like, just thinking, America has reached such a low level that, and we've discussed this before Trump was re-elected and the rest, that they couldn't find absolutely nobody else, that they had to choose someone like Trump once again. And perhaps this is because they needed to have confidence in someone who's going to do this dirty work. And if they're going to bring in someone new, perhaps it's going to really itch their conscience or trouble them a little bit, at least. How can I be behind this? So let's bring in someone who's already got experience in this, and he will just then finish up the job, finish up what they need to finish up, meaning the Palestinians and whatever dirty work. But of course, every dog has its day. And like you said yesterday, you posted, you sent this cap with the sign on it. And what comment did you put on there?
What a sick dude.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I said. What a sick person.
Hmm.
Yeah, Trump is always right. Was it? Trump was always right. Well, Trump was right about everything. Yeah, what kind of person thinks like that?
Hmm.
We had a teacher in high school that used to say, "I may not always be right, but I'm never wrong." and that's Trump. That's Trump.
Yeah.
I may not always be right, but I'm never wrong. So yeah, this is a mindset in America. What are you gonna do? They got, yeah, but every 4 years, you talk about, well, maybe this election it was like that, but no, every election is like that. The people that are really running the country, they look and see who is going to best serve our interests, not who the person that the people want, but who will best serve our interests and carry out the programs that we have, you know, in mind. So now with the AIPAC, and they're like the number one people that try to help pick. If they can't pick the president, then they just pick the Congress, or everybody in the Congress. There's still congressional. There's a congressional woman, white woman, who believes that the suffering in Gaza is not true. Is false. Na'udhu billah. All right. She's saying the videos are fake. All right, there is no starving over there. There is no killing of people. Now, if she says that there was no Holocaust in Germany, they will put her in jail. To deny the Holocaust of Germany, to Jews in Germany, that will put you in jail. But to deny this Holocaust, which the United Nations has already said is a Holocaust, is a genocide. Okay, if you deny it, it's okay. As a matter of fact, you can still serve in the American Congress. Well, there you are. So now you say, well, the president is like that. Well, the Congress is like that. Because 80% of Congress is being paid by AIPAC.
Exactly.
So they have to say this.
Mufti Saab, we've gone over time. Inshallah, tomorrow we'll look forward to you at 8:30 to 9, inshallah. Make dua for us. Jazakumullah khairan, especially for this last point. Meet you tomorrow. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.